Yeah, Hulk Hogan, I remember way back when the mega powers were bonded. Yeah, you made a lot of promises to the Macho Man, didn't you? Promises that you didn't keep. I remember one specific one, yeah. You promised that Elizabeth would never be in a dangerous position. You broke that promise, didn't you, Hulk Hogan? And who had to come in and make that critical save? The Macho Man, Randy Savage, covering for Hogan again.
Can't believe it, they're moving. Oh, no, they're taking it. What you gonna do with her handcuffs? What are they gonna do with Elizabeth? They have no right to touch her.
She's in the ring.
Put their hands on her. They got Elizabeth cuffed. They're gonna bring her to justice too, as well as Hogan. The Big Boss Man screaming at her, yelling at her. Wait a minute. Randy Savage tearing hand, leaps in the ring, swings at the Big Boss Man. Randy Savage cleaning house.
Hogan, I only come down to your matches when it's absolutely necessary. When you're down and out. That's the kind of rules I play by. But you play by different rules. Yeah, you got to get in your grandstanding and your hot dogging, don't you? Yeah. I remember a time when I wrestled the King, too. And in fact, I had Boss Man on the outside of the ring, just like you. The only difference was I was doing real good, yeah. I was styling out there like a champion, yeah. But guess who shows up for no reason at all to get his grandstanding and hot dogging in? You, man. You, Hulk Hogan, yeah. You just couldn't stand to sit back with your feet up and watch the champion in action. Well, look at this, prima donna.
Randy Savage connects with the elbow. The uppercut.
Oh, no. Look at that. Macho is good.
Hogan, not only are you a hot dog, a grandstander, a showboat, and a prima donna, but you're a liar, too. In fact, I remember a time where we stood in front of the man that does nothing but lie, Brother Love, and you told some of the biggest lies that I've ever heard of in my whole life.
I love him like a brother.
It's a lie, Hulk Hogan, and that's enough to get me hot. But what you said to Elizabeth is enough to get me to the boiling point, yeah!
I love Elizabeth.
Hulk Hogan, you say you love Elizabeth? Well, I got news for you, man. Yeah, I got news for you. Elizabeth is going to be in the corner of the Macho Man Randy Savage at WrestleMania 5. Yeah. And let me tell you something. You say you love me like a brother. Well, listen to this, Hulk Hogan. I hate you. I hate your guts. And that's what's going to be left all over the mat after WrestleMania 5.
Wrestling podcast chronicling the entire Hulkamania era pay-per-view by pay-per-view, and tonight the mega powers explode. It's a 1-year build and it is WrestleMania 5, and we are here with Mr. OSC.
The Yeti!
The Yeti!
The Yeti!
You might notice by the, I don't know, better audio quality that we have a new mic. And it is a large robot's penis. And I'd probably say called the Yeti. So, two reasons to buy it. Her son, Simon. And Steve?
Sorry, I'm over in this corner over here.
Can hear you just fine.
I'm a little bit soft about that. No, everything's grand. Good to see you,
man. Good to see you're soft in front of two lads, like, you know. WrestleMania 5, April 2nd, 1989, from Trump Plaza Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City, New Jersey, in front of 18,946 fans, 175,000 on a closed-circuit television, and the pay-per-view garnered 650,000 buys, so the biggest WrestleMania thus far, they can legitimately say it. Our announcers today are Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse Ventura. I watched the Silver Vision version, which is 2 hours 43 minutes, you guys?
Anthology version, which is 3 hours and 38.
And I watched whatever one you gave me, as always.
Good for me, bad for you. Maybe. We'll find out later, but I reckon that I'm missing quite a bit because it's like there's an over an hour's difference there. After a really short intro from Vince saying the Mega Powers explode, get straight into it. It's King Haku with Bobby the Brain Heenan versus Hercules.
You are missing a lot right off to the bat. Do you know how Rockin' Robin? Singing the
women didn't make the cards.
Are you surprised they cut that out of the version Jay was watching?
In a way, yes, because doesn't Vince love like fuck ups and in jokes and things like that?
No, I'm just thinking you guys have the live pay per view version with the WWE slapped onto it, and I have the Coliseum home video version. So, is she worth the extra whatever 12 cents it takes to get an extra hour's VHS tape?
In a full circle, so bad that it's awesome kind of way, maybe.
But I mean, even Ventura comments on it. He says, "Don't you know? Tell her not to give up her day job. She's terrible." Like, I thought it was a rib.
She had this terrible kind of pause thing. She thought she was awesome, and she thought she was like doing you know like vocal acrobatics or something. But
no, man, I don't think she thought she was good. Sure. Before the music stopped, she
just came across
as
someone who should be sitting at the back of the bus to me.
Okay, King Haku and Bobby the Brain Heenan, both wearing purple, a regal colour, versus Hercules.
I must have been writing something about how bad Rockin' Robin messed up. When I heard Jerry Lawler's song, I kind of looked up and was like, oh, awesome, Lawler's going to be wrestling. And then I saw Haku, and I'm not going to lie, the first time I actually turned it off.
Oh, no.
And I think I went back to watch it like the week later.
This guy Hercules getting another pay-per-view appearance.
Yeah.
Whose nude pictures does he have?
I'll tell you, I love the chain swinging though.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That's very good.
It was pretty cool, yeah.
You know, I think it was WrestleMania 2, he had a complete gladiator outfit and then he just exchanged it for his chains at Moss Bros, like whatever.
Yeah, but didn't Flair take that for his Spartacus gimmick?
I love you, Jim Hurt. Well done. Can't draw. No, yeah, chains are awesome, but Hercules is not.
I always thought that the point of an opening match on a card was to kind of pop the crowd and get them perked up and worked up.
That's where the Rocker should have been.
Whoever,
yeah, that's a great point.
Whoever set this card out, hopefully got sacked. The total opposite to what an opening match should have been. I thought it was terrible.
Mm. Heenan, he just had a real off night. Just for the whole way through the pay-per-view, he just had this sourpuss face on him. He didn't do much. He didn't, you know, say much. I was very disappointed with him. I thought, oh, here's Heenan. At least he'll make the match entertaining.
Make it slightly better, yeah.
Not at all. Not at all. Oh, Gorilla says that he likes to check Heenan's credentials out.
4 minutes in, there was a clothesline to Hercules by King Haku, and Monsoon says he's treated like a slave.
I didn't catch that.
Treated like a slave.
You tell me he dubbed it in for the Coliseum home video.
It's such a cool line. No, I actually didn't hear that.
Yeah, it's when they're outside brawling and splicey splice. Yeah.
There is a pattern that you'll notice throughout the show, And I think it must have been D'Lo Brown booking the matches or something, because four matches on this card opened with the same spot. It opens with body slam, body slam, body slam, knock over the top rope.
Really?
Yeah, four matches on this card opened the exact same way. There was a really long bear hook in this match. I think Haku did it on Hercules.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just silenced. There was no heat. The fans couldn't give a shite.
But that was the whole pay-per-view. This was the worst crowd I've ever heard at WrestleMania. Dead.
I'd agree with that. They are mostly dead for all the night.
Yeah.
Is this place in the same building that WrestleMania 2 was?
WrestleMania 4. No, it's Trump Plaza in WrestleMania. Yeah. Okay. 4 and 5.
What? Vince obviously knew they were building up to the Mega Powers.
I got some money, it's in my bag.
So he took the brown envelope rather than kind of book a 50,000-60,000 seater for this massive match?
Yeah, you did. Like, they're more popular than they were at WrestleMania 3, but you've dropped your crowd by 3 or 4.
Yeah,
or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it really hurts the pay-per-view.
They didn't give a shit. Generally apathetic crowd. Maybe that they just want to see the main event, but in general, it felt like people that weren't there to particularly see wrestling.
Yeah.
You know?
Your comments about the long bear hug, just one of my OOC kayfabe breakers, if you will.
Don't.
You haven't that one?
Market.
Hey, you haven't
that one? It's not going to sell.
Ah, that's a shame. Anyway, so you're in a bear hug, right? Why don't wrestlers power out immediately? Instead of waiting until all their energy is sapped before thinking, oh, I'm going to power out now. Happens every single bear hug. They go for maybe 2-3 minutes, they're just kind of... And then eventually they go, oh, shit. Why don't they do that straight away when they have more energy?
So wrestling is saying you have more energy 3 minutes into a bear hug than at the start before the bear hug.
Correct, that's when you can power out, after all your energy's gone.
Yeah. How can you gain energy
by
being a
guy who's gassed out his arms?
I love it.
Oh, very
good. I love it.
That'll do.
Like lactic acid buildup or something.
That'll do. A back suplex into a pin from Hercules to get the pin on Haku. However, he couldn't bridge, so essentially he just kind of lifted up one shoulder.
Yeah,
so
he lifted up his left shoulder at the last second.
So that was fair enough. That's
and
quite good thinking.
Missed it the first time around.
Yeah, that's quite good thinking, though. At least he didn't keep his shoulders on the mat. However, there was absolutely no downward pressure on Haku at the time. So all Haku had to do was just lift a shoulder. You know, on a proper bridge, you've got proper downward pressure on the guy that's getting pinned.
Yeah.
In this case, no. So it looked really terrible.
I must note that this is roughly the same finish as last year's Mania, where it was Hercules and Warrior, and they did the German suplex finish. But this time he actually got his shoulder up, so great.
Yeah, yeah. Let's move on then, shall we?
All right.
Yes.
Yeah, so 6:57 of Hell, back body drop by Hercules, gets the 3 non-scurry finish. All right, so we go to Twin Towers versus the Rockers.
Me and Gene just chatting with the Rockers just prior to this. It was like a little 40-second promo. And the first thing, just the state of the Rockers. They look like two Muppets.
I thought they looked great.
Yeah, I thought they looked awesome. Yeah.
I tell you what, Twin Towers, Akeem, the big boss man, the Rockers, Marty Jannetty, and Shawn Michaels are going to show you something today at WrestleMania 5 that you've never seen before. And what's it going to be like when the two big men are trying to catch Akeem Flag and Gene?
All right. And basically about 10 or 15 seconds into this chat, random music comes on out of nowhere and kind of gives both of them a fright.
It's not random music, it's the entrance music for the Twin Towers.
Was that what it was?
The Jive Soul, bro.
Yeah. Because I was the same, but then it went cut into the arena.
Okay. And I thought Sean spoke far too quickly. I thought he looked really nervous, and I thought Marty was better than him.
Yeah, so did I.
Alright, so the Twin Terrors, wow, second match on the card. They've fallen down quite a bit since main eventing the last 3 pay-per-views, to be honest. 10 seconds in as well, Bossman's, you know, tummy jumps out and opens up his shirt as well.
It was minging.
At the start of it, there was a quick dance part where Akeem jives in the ring, and then HBK sees it and he does a little moonwalk.
And he gets booed.
And then that's it. Oh, come on.
Wow. I wanted to make that point. Sorry, go on, say it again.
No, we're fine. Lots of big man power spots by the Twin Towers, and the Rockers retaliate with their own kind of tag team spots. Like, there was a jock and nerd spot, and there was a double dropkick off the top ropes.
Oh,
which,
we're going to talk about that later.
We can go to it now. HBK absolutely misses him. I'm glad Bossman didn't, like, get his head shaved off. Like,
someone nearly died in that. That was a nasty looking fuck up.
But whose fault was it?
Either Marty jumped too quickly or Sean jumped too late.
Who's at fault?
I'm going to say Sean.
Yeah, that was the first thing that came to my mind. It looked like Sean's fuck up to me now. But
if they actually hit at the same time, would they not kill the boss man?
Because they're coming at different angles.
Like, because Marty connected and was pushing him this way, and if Sean connected as well, he'll break his neck.
Yeah, well,
I'm glad they missed. Anyway.
Yeah. I love this match.
I thought this match was pretty damn good as well, actually.
I think, obviously, you know, when you have the big guys, power moves, rockers all over the place, I thought it worked really well. And I love the Twin Towers as well.
An excellent storyline in the match. You can tell it's very simple, very forward. These are the big guys, and they're a tag team. They do tag team moves. Here's the small guys. They have their own tag team moves and trying to retaliate. So there's lots of, like, cutoffs from the big guys and trying to retaliate. And brilliant, brilliant.
There's another spot where the boss man holds up Jannetty in kind of a cradle, standing cradle. Akeem runs into him. It's like just kind of...
flattens him.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I thought, you know, with regard to big man tag team moves, I think they pull things off pretty well. And he pansies out of another top row splash.
Oh my god.
When does he stop doing these?
I think did he actually ever do a proper one though?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, because every time we've seen him doing it, it's just looked really badly, and he always bottles over and lands on his feet first.
I bet you'd be more confident if he went off the second rope.
The best rope.
Yeah. Anyway, so the finish of the match is where you get Air Africa, which is the world's strongest splash on HBK.
Is that what it's called?
Well, that's what Monsoon calls it.
That's great.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Is it better than Air Canada, Benoit?
I just thought it was like diving headbutt.
Yeah. No, I call it Air Canada. Terrible. It's for people that don't have gimmicks. Let's just talk about where you're from and put air in front of it.
Like Bret Hart?
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
Get out. Okay, so on HBK for the win at 8 minutes 2 seconds, yet no WrestleMania streak for Sean. Backstage where Tony Schiavone interviews the Million Dollar Man and Virgil.
It's really bizarre how you've got this, but you didn't have the other ones.
Well, I reckon this was far more important. This is the debut of the Million Dollar Belt, and the first time the Million Dollar Man's been in his black and gold outfit on pay-per-view, so yeah, awesome.
Okay, cool.
I want you to design for me something that is befitting a man of my stature. I want you to design for me something that will make the entire world recognize the Million Dollar Man for what he truly is. And that is the finest wrestler that has ever stepped foot in the ring anywhere. I want you to make for me a championship belt. A Million Dollar Championship Belt.
A Million Dollar Belt.
I'm here! The Million Dollar Man is here! And I want my belt. I want to see my Million Dollar Belt. Where's Terry Bitterich? I want to see the Million Dollar Belt, and I want to see it right now. Show it to me. I want to see it now!
Mr. DiBiase, finally we have a creation worthy of the Million Dollar Man. It's our finest creation. There's months of work here.
Let me see it! It's mine! It's mine! The most magnificent belt ever created! And it's mine! Finally! Finally a possession worthy of the Million Dollar Man. A possession to go around the most magnificent waist in the entire wrestling world! And it's mine! Finally something that will show the entire wrestling world just how truly great I really am! I give you, Brother Love, the Million Dollar Championship Belt!
Wow. Holy take a look at that, Jesse. McMahon, are those all diamonds, obviously? Wow, I must say, I'm impressed.
The belt's 25 grams, and they're all fake diamonds, except there's one on the back on the inside that is a real diamond.
Makes perfect sense.
So, is it made of diamonds? Yeah, why, yes it is.
Still looks great.
Still looks fucking amazing. Alright, so we've got the Million Dollar Man versus Brood Eye. Brutus the Barber Beefcake, who comes out in matching attire with an America bag, which carries his
I call it the exact same thing, an America bag.
Cheap pops all around. Fucking hell.
Very simple match. The wrestling was very base, I thought.
Terrible match.
Yeah, I did not enjoy this match.
I loved Beaver's music.
God, great.
It's like some kind of jazzed up Owen Hart theme. Did you get that?
I didn't make a connection. But I think there's like a shing shing, which sounds like some got a, you know, with the hedge clippers. I thought that's nice. Oh, wait, hold on.
I did enjoy the characters in it. You know, I thought that was well done.
I don't even think it was well done. I don't think they got the crowd involved. Not that you would be able to get this crowd.
I meant
involved.
These characters are great, but the match and the storytelling.
Yeah, right, okay, yeah.
And that's it. They never brought up the fact that it's the Million Dollar Dream versus the Sleeper Hold.
They did.
Did they?
They did, yeah. Because I actually wrote this down and said, that's fucking awesome, because they're talking about how both guys have the same move and who's better at putting it on, who's faster, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's like, this shit never happens anymore. It's like, the only thing I can think of is Rob Van Dam against Eddie around 2005. Nash and Thing and Sid have the same with the greatest ending ever.
What was the finish, Steve? Of the powerbomb match?
The finish of the powerbomb match consisted of Kevin Nash knocking down the referee, then he smacks Sid with a belt or something and he falls. Then he wakes the ref up, tells him, I just powerbombed him. That's why he's on the deck and wins.
We must have a winner. Oh, you know what I loved? The Fink reads out that DiBiase has a spring residence in Palm Springs or something, Florida. Thought that was really good.
This match is D'Lo's second strike. The exact same spot as in the first match. A few body slams, then a clothesline over the top rope, followed by about 5 minutes of time wasting. That's two out of three with the same opening spots. Jesse had probably the line of the entire show. Cheating is grand as long as you tried beforehand and can't win fairly, then it's fine to cheat, but only if you try and fail first. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, don't remember that. You always
it's a
pick
very
up
interesting
these,
point.
You listen to these Jesse Ventura lines.
I listened to him more than I'd watched the matches, in all honesty. Yeah.
I have to say, I really loved the commentary team in this pay-per-view. Like, I enjoyed listening to them, as opposed to enduring Michael Cole. You know, these guys actually add something to it, and they both put
I
over
actually
the
find
stars,
Lawler like. Much worse than Cole. I actually think Cole is quite funny.
But Lawler only says three lines an hour, like.
Exactly.
Yeah. So he's fine. You know, he's just not there.
Oh, I hate him.
Yeah, I despise him.
Yeah.
JJ, I loved the other the Jesse line. I thought was great. He was talking about Donald Trump bringing a load of his rich mates to see Ted DiBiase, and Gorilla was like, to do what? And Jesse's like, wrestle.
What else? Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, Million Dollar Man puts the sleeper in, and then Ventura mentioned something about the loser getting a haircut. Was this a haircut match?
It was never mentioned.
No.
Yeah, I was like, it's a pretty big step, like. Yeah. You know? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Neither guy does the job. It's a fuck finish. There's a draw. We get a double count out of 10-01. Then
man, that's two out of three matches so far with fucked up finishes
and terrible,
that's
awful matches.
Jesus Christ.
The barber grabs the clippers, but the heel scarper, and then he puts up his hand, and Earl has none of it. Pulls down the hand. No, neither of you won. Stop your theme.
I loved when Brutus signals for the sleeper, and DiBiase's like seeing him, you know, signal for the sleeper, and instead of like just rolling out of the ring, he's like, no, please don't. I have to get you to go around the back of me and hold me, you know, help me. Ridiculous. Really, really bad. The totally, totally boring match. I love the bit though. There's one good bit that on the hard camera, there's some big fat lad in a green jacket. He just walks down the steps and he just waves at the camera. As I was watching the crowd for the whole match.
Must have been a stellar match. Alright, so Mean Gene interviews Rick Rude and Bobby Heenan, and he says he'll win the IC belt.
Actually didn't
talk about
that. I didn't. Jane, Intercontinental Champion, the ultimate warrior for that coveted title. You've got big plans for this man, Bobby Heenan.
Oh, do I have big plans? Have I ever lied to you?
Never.
And you've never lied to me. If you keep your game plan like you plan on doing, you're going to become the champion like you said. It's that simple.
That simple, Rick Rude?
The fact of the matter is this. Ultimate Warrior, I'll be ravishing when the night begins. And I'll be even more ravishing when the night ends with the Intercontinental belt around my simply ravishing waist.
And with that kind of an attitude, you are rude from time to time, I think.
Lord Al Hayes was talking to the Bushwhackers as they were sitting down at catering, stuffing their face, talking. It was disgusting. The only good thing about it was Lord Hayes was trying not to laugh and failing miserably. Yes.
Yeah, oh, it was terrible, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. From Montreal to Memphis, everyone has themes now. It's awesome. We got the Rougeau brothers with Jimmy Hart versus Luke and Butch, the Bushwhackers. I noticed the crowd were not that hot for them, but they were giving it socks, you know. So I thought, Matt, give it time. Give this time. This got like a crazy over. At the start, there was an awesome sandwich spot with the three heels where the Bushwhackers are going to pull apart Jimmy Hart's jacket, and then the Rougeau brothers get in, but they both get to kind of throw each other from the turnbuckles, and Jimmy Hart's in the middle and he gets squished and he throws up his coat. Awesome.
Yeah, I like that spot.
It's like it was scripted.
Something's not
commentary funny. On this match, lads, was amazing. Jesse and Thing were having a fight about foreigners and emigrants coming in and blah, stealing their jobs and whatnot, and just Jesse took Monsoon to school. It was amazing. Yeah.
This was cut from my version.
Monsoon
any of that.
Like
so racist.
Like an idiot.
Like this guy
like an
is
ignorant asshole. Like.
You know, this guy is the son of immigrants.
Pearl Harbor.
And he's talking about why are the Rougeaus? Why do they have American flags? And Jesse's like, oh,
because they love the country.
They live in they live in Memphis. And he's saying, ah, oh, but they weren't born here. You know, because Jesse's saying, oh, you know, your parents are from Italy. He said, well, I was born here and the Rougeaus weren't. And then he said, and then Jesse's talking about the Statue of Liberty and Gorilla says, yeah, we already got here tired and poor.
He came across like a tosspot.
Oh, he really did. Like,
so first you tend to the hungry, then you're poor, then you're people yearning to breed free, is it? Alright, this is my best/worst spot of the night.
It must be the same as mine.
It's
then.
Incredibly innocuous. Only if you're paying attention will you see this.
I'm laughing already. But,
okay, so Raymond picks up Luke and he gives him a slam, okay? So he's holding on for the slam and Luke... wires Raymond's package like a stiff handshake, 5 seconds worth.
He gives it a quick rub followed by a squeezy. I've never seen anything even remotely like this in wrestling. It must be wrestling for like 25 years, and it's just...
So the finish of the match is when the heels start celebrating, which is great, and the Bushwhackers hit the battering ram and then a double stomach breaker and get the 3 at 9:10, and then something awesome happens.
Raymond gives Butch a cheeky toe up the hole. He kicks him in his hole. Just as the ref is counting 3. It was amazing. It was just like the most... unreal, like 90 seconds of wrestling ever. I don't think anyone will talk
while,
this.
While he's getting pinned,
it's the Brett spot where he's pinning someone, and then the other guy hits him. But I'm not breaking the pin and get the 3.
Oh right.
So while he was getting pinned, his arse was unattended, and then he was. I have to see. I'll go back. I'll slow motion it.
Amazing.
I'm sure he's begging to work with Dynamite Kid after this. Alright, so after the match, the amazing seminal match, the Bushwhackers lick Sean Mooney and get each time they get far too close to his mouth. They start licking the back of his head and the side of his head, and they just try to wear him basically.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Okay, moving on. We got Mr. Perfect with no theme versus the Blue Blazer, and what a song! And then I saw these two together in a match. Yes, yeah. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah. My excitement needle like through the roof. Like
his opponent from parts unknown, weighing 229.
What a sight!
The Blue Blazer.
And this is the debut of the neon singlet and tail and gum. This is the full Mr. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he trips on the ramp.
Oh, did
he? Yeah. But one of the Bushwhackers did in the previous match.
Is this a straight ramp or is it?
It's like bumpy. Like.
There's two separate entrances. There's like one where people walk along, and then there's the kind of WrestleMania 20 Madison Square Garden. Mm. You know, when you come in from the bleachers, kind of thing.
Yeah,
but it was a shame because he. That's the problem with the Mr. Perfect gimmick. You can't make a mistake. You cannot fuck up. Like.
D'Lo definitely had his hand in this match, lads.
Speaking of having hands and stuff, Jesse says, Perfect does some devastating things when he gets a man in the corner. Like, so does Akeem. Yeah, some really enjoyable mat wrestling. I did have to note that Owen was a little sloppy, though. Like, he did try a lot of spots, but he wasn't exactly fluid. Like, when he'd flip over, he wouldn't exactly land on his feet. He kind of go forward a bit, but nothing.
Well, Owen was sloppy.
Yeah.
You know he did get tighter. I asked Luke, he says it.
Well, the thing about Owen is, and I mentioned it in one of the previous podcasts, that he's high flying at this stage in his career. Once he wrestles Bret Hart at WrestleMania 10, it's not high flying, it's all boring mat work. You'd love it. I hate that match. But I love the Blazer. I don't care if he's a little bit sloppy. At least he's trying stuff. And that's stuff that other people aren't doing. Like, you know, these days, like Sin Bocce, he's botching moves that like other wrestlers can do.
Yeah. He's just not perfect.
And by the way, how many times does that word get said in a Mr. Perfect match?
Holy
it's
God.
It's a perfect punch. It's a perfect suplex. It's a perfect run. It's
what's
a perfect...
his name again? I forgot. Alright, so the finish of the match is where Mr. Perfect gets the three with a cradle suplex, and Ventura corrects Monsoon and says it's the perfect plex at 5:38.
Yeah, the pin came out of nowhere, and another case of Gorilla being shite on commentary. He had a horror night tonight. I'm going to pick up on all of them. I thought it was blatantly obvious that Owen was no masked wrestler. He spent the half of the match fixing it, pulling at it.
I thought the match worked really well. I thought Owen was doing a lot of the work, as the babyface should, and then Perfect got the cheap shot win, really.
I was underwhelmed by this match. I expected this to steal the show, and I thought that the action was all right, bar the 2.5 minute fucking sleeper that that Owen put on.
I wish you got 15 minutes. Well, hopefully we'll get to see him again, but not really. Blue Blazer's just in whenever Hercules is already jobbing on another part of the show.
Jesse Ventura was introduced to the crowd. What kind of filler rubbish was that?
They've been doing this every month.
This is the same thing last year.
As last year, yeah. He just gets up on his little podium and he'll work the fans for like a minute.
Alright, so we got a pre-taped vignette about the 5K run with the Strike Force, and they talk about the Brainbusters.
Oh, the race segment.
Oh, God.
Alfred Hayes with Mr. Fuji, you know, going on his... He's getting fit, so he's joining a race. So there's a load of lads just in real 80s short shorts in the background. It was actually hilarious. Fuji runs off, you know, he gets the head start before everyone else, and he just gets overtaken by a swarm.
So they book the race as well. That's amazing.
It was really bizarre. I was like, this segment, he came across as a super face. Hmm. I thought the segment was terrible.
I thought it was funny. Yeah.
All right. It's time for Run DMC with the WrestleMania rap.
Yeah, we're about to get busy, y'all. Y'all want to rock out there? Everybody put their hands in the air, clap like this. Come on, everybody, clap. Come on, everybody. I want everybody out of front. Say, come on, WrestleMania. Everybody out there, say, WrestleMania. Everybody.
This is hilarious. It was just these lads. Like, I kind of recognise them these days, but back then, like, who the fuck are these lads? And he was just like, WrestleMania! WrestleMania!
Did they do the 80s rap?
Yeah,
Did they?
No, they should have.
The Beastie Boys. Like. I'm not gonna lie, I skipped this the second time.
Did they rhyme hands in the air with just don't care?
No, because nobody cared.
Right.
They did. One guy cared. They put the camera points to some young black guy in the crowd. And he's just like, "Hey, I'm black."
I noticed people don't want to sing or say or shout WrestleMania, much like The Rock at WrestleMania 27. I say Wrestle, you say Mania. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, shut your mouth.
Yeah. No one wants to sing WrestleMania, unless it's the fucking WrestleMania 8 song.
Kind of like Bret Hart, isn't it?
He was like, nah, 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 nah.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm thinking of Owen Hart again, sorry.
He was like, keyboard Christmas guitar trailer. Alright, so we get a perfect interview. Mr. Perfect says the word perfect to Mr. Gene perfectly.
Nothing less than a perfect performance from Mr. Perfect. The buzz around the World Wrestling Federation even now is that Bret Hart, the Hitman, would like a piece of Mr. Perfect.
You know, WrestleMania 5 for me was fun, but Bret Hart, you're a great technician, and I like to have fun. More fun than anybody else. And I'll tell you what, Bret Hart, I'm going to have fun at your expense. And when it's all over and it's all said and done, you too, my friend Bret Hart, will know why I am absolutely perfect.
Let's go back to Gorilla Monsoon.
Yeah, he gets over the word perfect. He brings up Bret Hart and agrees to a match down the line.
I didn't see that.
No.
Oh, that's really cool. Talking about Bret Hart, like.
Mean Gene brings him up and he's like, yeah, I'll wrestle him.
That's really good. Yeah. Shame I didn't see that. Mm.
There was a really good build up to the tag match I showed, you know, like the whole history and.
Yeah, it was.
Just the crazy double turn at the Survivor Series, was it?
I did notice that because I do give out about no. You know, historical build references, but that, yeah. It was a great build, and it was probably even too long, if anything else. They were showing a lot of footage, and I know that, I don't know, maybe mid-90s, they start doing really good video promo packages with, you know, dramatic music and promos overlaid on it. They didn't have that, but it was still pretty good. It was good.
Just prior to that, we had an amazing 80s shouty promo from Demolition with Axe just, you know, we're gonna beat you, we're gonna win, and Smash just going la 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 beside him. It was pretty awesome. It was awesome.
All right, here they are, Axe and Smash, the Demolition Tag Team Champions. Gentlemen, just moments away, the Powers of Pain and Mr. Fuji, and your title defense, Smash.
That's right, you just said it, moments away. Fuji's dudes, look at this. We're in our war gear and we're ready for action. So when you get to that ring, there's only one thing to do. That's knock your stinking teeth in.
We're gonna make history right here today. The Three Stooges. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready, Warlord, the Barbarian, because Fuji's the Stooge, you can't hide forever. We're gonna take care of business. We're gonna go right in that ring, and we're gonna do what we do best. We demolish people. We're the champions. We're on top of the mountain. And nobody, especially you, you little overstuffed rat. I'm talking about you, Fuji's the Stooge, you're not gonna do anything. We're going to grab you around the neck, squeeze those eyeballs out, and get you right out of the track.
All right, the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions on their way for a title defense.
Sounds good. All right, so moving on, we've got the 3-on-2 handicap match for the tag team titles. It's the Powers of Pain with Mr. Fuji versus Axe and Smash, the Demolition, the tag team champions. And Powers of Pain, they have the awesome Conan the Barbarian and Warlord outfits.
Hello. Do you notice Fuji's in great shape?
He looked awesome. I reckon that guy's in his 70s at this point.
Like he's heavy. He's heavy, but I mean,
he looks like a pear. Did Japan have?
He looks more like looks more like an egg.
I thought he looked great.
I mean, that's it. Like, I'm not saying he's looks like Hulk Hogan. I think he looks as good shape as Duggan or the Hammer.
Yeah.
Did you see Fuji was doing, like, you know, the spot where I think it was Axe was on the ground and he lifted up his legs to do the headbutt into the groin, you know? He kind of missed and his mouth went into the groin.
I learned this one from Luke. Alright, so the Powers of Pain, they're in control. Fuji comes in and out, so it doesn't take any offense. And he botches a miss something or other off the top rope. Like
a leg drop, but he just slips.
Yeah, was that a leg drop? Was it a Warrior's Way?
I think it was. No, it looked to me like it was a pansying out of a leg drop, as in you jump on your feet and then you kind of sit down, but he just slipped. And
yeah. Smash makes the comeback. Oh, it all disintegrates into a schmoz. Fuji nails Warlord with talcum powder by mistake, and Demolition get their finisher, which is called, anyone? The Demolition Decapitation. Oh. Or the Demolition Device, if you on Fuji, and they retain their belts at 8:20. What did you guys think?
I thought this match was never going to be good, as in ring action, because I mean, you know, the kind of the wrestlers that are in there.
Yeah,
it needed crowd involvement. Didn't get it. If it had it, I think it would certainly would have elevated it up a couple of notches. But the unfortunate thing is, it was a massive build up to this match, culmination of the feud at WrestleMania. You think, I don't know, there'd be a cool spot or two. There wasn't really. Also, Powers of Pain should have won the belts.
I thought that the build was good. The characters were good and over, and the story of the match wasn't too bad. Just the actual action was, you know, it was just the same over and over again, but it was alright.
Alright, so next, I don't know if you guys got it, but next we had a pre-recorded post-match interview from the Twin Towers.
No.
Because it was, in the timeline, it was after their match, because Mean Gene says, oh, well done, I'm winning. But they were fresh as a daisy, and you guys didn't shower and change your outfits.
And then put on the same outfits again?
Yeah.
Going home, like... Boss man's out in the street, you know?
So I thought that was very, very odd. They just get over the fact that they want the next title shot against Demolition.
Again, builds, you know, starting, you know, setting the scene. Fine. I like that.
To talk to the World Wrestling Federation champion, the Macho Man Randy Savage. He has refused us each time. We're going to try one more time right before this big matchup here today.
Get out of here! I told you no interviews! Come on, I'll knock you out! Hulk Hogan, I'm ready!
I think we got a really cool little snippet backstage of Macho Man. Tony Schiavone goes to interview him, and you saw that you have it as well. And he just goes mental.
And just runs off.
Yeah, it's great.
This I found this is great. Just with, I don't know if it has the same layout in the anthology version, but throughout the night, because there was 10 matches. So there's an interview with Macho, then an interview with Liz, interview with Hogan, and then there is a build up package as well, strewn throughout the night. So there's no doubt what the main event is and why you should care.
Yeah,
so, fantastic.
Just to correct you there, don't get it twisted. There's 14 matches on this pay per view, right?
Yeah.
Don't underplay it.
Alright, so next we got the amazing Dino Bravo with Frenchie Martin, who this is his last appearance, versus Rugged Ronnie Garvin, who has no entrance theme and no talent.
No talent, correct.
Really? I thought he was pretty good. During the match, there was probably the most bizarre spot of the night. Snuka came out, walked down to the ring, and then walked back.
I didn't even see him walk back.
It was after Bravo Pearl Harbor Garvin.
Like, it's as if he was the third guy in the match.
Like. Yeah, I thought he was like a special referee or something.
Or it was like, you know, a triple threat, but they didn't have them back then, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, good point. But yeah, he just got announced. A big, you know, a big announcement, a big introduction. He comes down, you know, takes him. He looks like a puppet on a string. He's just like this, you know, arms up for the whole time. Like, And I'm thinking, he's going to do something at least.
He looked old in 1989. Mm.
He didn't look that bad.
He walked quite gingerly,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
You could tell he shouldn't get in the ring.
He had that sarong on as well, so he couldn't really move his legs.
Sarong.
I know what a sarong is, right?
The thing David Beckingham made so popular.
But yeah, that was good point out there.
What was that?
I thought he was like...
He looks like a jobber. He looks like... undercard, but
I thought he's
clearly a good wrestler.
I thought he was like the Jack LaLanne of wrestling. Like, he's really old, but he's an ugly old barrel chested cretin, but you know, he can go.
Kevin Sullivan.
You know, man can cut a promo. He can go over as well.
Kevin Sullivan looks like Bill Bailey.
He does, actually. Did you notice Bravo jacked? really jacked.
Oh, he's huge. Yeah.
Yo, I watched this pay-per-view with Greg, and as soon as he saw Ronnie Garvin, he was like, oh, rubbish garbage. It's like, yes, yes, that's who it was 23 years ago.
I totally different view on this. I thought Garvin dragged Dino Bravo to like the greatest match he's ever had. It was only like 4 minutes long or something, but it was still his best.
No, it was mercifully short, and actually, it was one of the less bad matches on the card. It was quite a good pace, and they broke out a few moves.
Yeah,
I'm not saying Ronnie Garvin's a good wrestler, but this match wasn't terrible.
Garbage has most of the offense, but Bravo hits the side suplex and gets the three. And then post-match, Garvin hits the Orton stomp. Yeah, see what I did there? On Frenchie post-match, and it is awesome to see it.
I thought the last stomp to Frenchie's head, it was like a close-up in the camera. It looked really vicious.
Alright, so Dino Bravo, he does nothing until he's healed. He joins up with Jimmy Hart, and he goes and has a heel tag team. Any guys know who he tags with?
Valentine, obviously.
No, he's stuck with Rhythm and Blues, like Jimmy Hart.
Greg Valentine.
Greg Valentine.
I just said that.
He
joins Rhythm and Blues.
I was just reading my notes, sorry.
So, Dino Bravo joins with a heel to make a tag team. Earthquake. Because Dino Bravo would do a thing.
Earthquake as Earthquake?
Yeah. Because he'd do the thing where he'd do the push-ups, and Earthquake would actually sit on him, and he'd do push-ups.
That's cool. Amazing.
Pretty fucking awesome. Yeah.
That's a good spot.
All right, so next, we got the Brain Busters, Arn and Tully versus Girls in Cars.
That's exactly what I've got written down.
Better known as Strikeforce, Tito Santana and Rick Martel. Now, the Brain Busters, I was giving out last time about Arn's attire. And yeah, they're wearing matching red everything now. So yeah. Great, they could form a group with the Rooster, maybe. Okay, so there's an opening schmoz and a double dropkick spot. Jesse and Monsoon, I just noticed, they're great.
I hate Gorilla Monsoon.
Oh, he's
I've
awful.
Always hated
he's
him.
He's absolutely
really.
Awful.
This goes back to when I was watching like Wrestling Challenge and Superstars on like a Sunday morning on Sky One, and I was like, Gorilla Monsoon. I loved Vince back then. And I was like, fucking Gorilla Monsoon is commentating. I do like the fact that sometimes Gorilla Monsoon can be the realist, and Jesse then is...
Can go mental.
Yeah, and the vice versa. I think it does work quite well, actually.
Yeah, I think they're excellent in talent. I actually quite like Monsoon, although he's obviously an idiot. But I think the pairing with Ventura, who's obviously very smart and very quick-witted, and he can think of just these ridiculous reasons to justify heel's actions, just gels together and makes a fantastic package. All right, so there are stereo figure fours, which are broken up, and Tito does great. He bridges out of the pin. It's very nice. And then the ref stops counting three when he sees Arn jumping into the ring to break up the pin, which I thought was great. That's awesome. Yes, the rules.
The rules? Yeah.
And then
I'm not going to have that speech.
Then the big spot in the match is where Tito nails Martel with a flying forearm. And Martel drops to the mat and then rolls to the outside, and he sells forever. So there's a sunset flip to Arn. And there's amazing.
That's the best selling ever. I thought that was incredible.
Only I made that.
Where's the hands? I need the hands. Do I look left? Do I look left? It's oh my god.
No. I thought this selling was amazing, lads. I thought this was like my future. Yeah, seriously. He was what? Like, right. He was near the ropes, and Ting was trying to roll him up, and so he reached to the left to try to grab the ropes.
There was nobody there, fine.
No, he wasn't reaching for a person, he was reaching for the ropes.
And,
so
and he
then,
couldn't grab it, he wasn't
And he
to.
Couldn't reach it, so obviously...
He reaches to the right then.
No, he doesn't reach to the right, he goes back to the middle and tries to get his balance back. Then he gets his balance and goes for the ropes again.
He's no closer to the ropes, so why is he reaching for the ropes?
Because if he doesn't get to the ropes, he's going to get rolled up and might lose. I'm sorry, I total off.
Biggest
I thought this
mark
was,
in the business.
I thought this was awesome, I really did. He never went right.
He did.
No, he went left, right, and probably another left, right.
We'll watch it on the video later.
Commentators, this is shit. we get an awesome heel turn by Martel where Tito is looking for the tag, and Martel, he's like, oh, I'm injured, I'm walking it off, I don't see your tag, actually, fuck you, I'm out of here.
Jay, your favourite angle is just brewing. The tag team breakup. This is how they start. Go for the tag, nah, jump down, walk away. You love this shit, man. It does get probably the biggest reaction of the night.
Oh, yeah, it's huge, yeah.
Massive heat for yeah. I thought this was quite clever. You know, normally, as you say, the person is on the side and they go to tag and they just kind of give him like evil face and jump back. But it's like, this guy had a reason for it, you know? He was there and he was in the fight and he got hit and he was a bit miffed. I saw it was fucking awesome.
It was actually quite realistic. I can probably imagine doing something similar. You just get pissed off. You're like,
I'll keep that in mind. And the finish of the match, there was an amazing, sick-looking spike pile driver from the devastating second rope, no less, at 9:17. And the Brainbusters make quick work of a one-man team. After that, we get an immediate promo backstage from Rick Martel as a full-blown heel, saying that he's carried Tito and he doesn't want to do it anymore. And Gene and the camera just cut him off.
Jesse kind of ends off this scene by saying that Rick never wanted a tag team partner, but Tito needed one. Jesse was awesome in this show.
Okay. We just pause for that. Yeah.
The absolute drizzling shits of WrestleMania 5. It's Piper's Pit. After a long-winded intro, Swerve, it's Brother Love, and who does a Piper impression, which is not bad, actually.
Yeah, in all fairness, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's Brother Love, you know, I want to tell you, it's a pleasure to be right here on your show, you know, I watch you every single week, you know, on TV, you know, I just love your show. You know, I love it when you, I love you just as much as you say you love me. You know, I just love it, man. I'm in awe.
Hey, not bad.
Next, some bloke who smoked came out. He sucked a cock too.
Hold on. He said a couple of great lines.
Did he?
Can't remember what they were. They were great, though.
Okay.
I actually laughed.
Right? Then, finally, Piper comes out to a pretty good pop.
No,
one of the bigger ones of the whole
match. No pop at all.
This dude is Morton Downey Jr., and he had his own titular TV show. And, he did trash TV, so I assume he was, like, the 80s version of...
Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer, yeah. You know the way he's smoking like a train? Never guess what he died of.
Man. Lung cancer in 2001.
That is accurate.
I looked him up on Wikipedia.
Wow. I honestly couldn't be... I couldn't have been arsed to look this up. Anyway, so, Piper comes out. He grabs the mic, keep asking Brother Love questions, and then just as Brother Love is about to answer, he takes the mic away. Fucking hilarious. Throughout this whole segment, Mr. Johnny Smokey is taking out cigarettes from his pack and flinging them at Piper. I'm just looking at it, just like, I'm fairly certain if, you know, push come to shove, Piper would smash his face in.
It looked
there's no push come to shove about it. Piper would murder this guy very quickly.
Piper would shoot him a dirty look, every second cigarette or something that he'd throw. And
Monsoon notes that Morton here, Bort over here, is always puffing on that weed, although it's clearly a cigarette.
This is like the 50s. cigarettes used to be called the, like weed, puffing on weed.
Really?
As opposed to wacky tobacco.
Yeah, I think so.
The wackiest. What's his face? Rowdy Roddy Piper takes off Love's kilt. As a member of the crowd shouted about 10 minutes prior to it, "You take his skirt off!" Good, he's the booker. Morton blows
Should have brought Luke out to give him a hand with that one, you know? He'd have gladly done it.
He'll find all of his cigarettes. Morton blows smoke in Piper's face repeatedly.
He's lighting up a smoke for Piper. He just turns around and then, hey, the big fire extinguisher, wee, in his face. What, and he sells it. I mean, it's just like essentially gas in your face. Why would you fall over?
Would you prefer it if he remained incredibly still and then
and just fall over? I know. Or even better, he did the Greg the Hammer Valentine spot. You know, where he does about 8 times in every match.
Can we just leave this segment? I hated it so much.
Amazing recap video of No Holds Barred. It made this movie look amazing. I want to review this. Like,
Mean Gene says this is going to be a blockbuster. I'm sure, Jay, you have the facts and figures on
this. Did
it
do well, yeah?
It did not bust any blocks.
Hey! Wait, are you looking for a little escape? Want to see something?
This is sick!
You don't see every day. Are you ready for a whole new Hulk Hogan? Hulk Hogan is ripped. To the world, he's a hero. But to this man, he's history. Zeus. Stand back. Way back. Get ready for the battle no ropes can hold. No ring. No referee. No rules.
Gentlemen, it's time.
No holds barred.
This is an unprecedented display of strength and determination.
You can bet that No Holds Barred is going to be a blockbuster. It's going to be something else. Right now, let's go back to the arena.
No Holds Barred, holy mackerel. Jesse, I believe the Hulkster's invading your territory.
How dare him step into Hollywood, Gorilla Monsoon? Let me tell you something, Hulk Hogan. Hollywood is my domain, but I can see why you're doing it. You're doing it, Hogan, because you're going to lose to the Macho Man. And when you lose to him, you're going to have no job, Hulk Hogan. So you're going to have to come out to Hollywood, try to invade my territory. It ain't big enough for the both of us, Hogan. But if you want to come out, I'll give Hogan a job in Hollywood. He can drive my limo.
Really bent out of shape, Jesse the Body Ventura, talking about people infringing on his territory. Really, the Hulkster's just gone out and made a movie, the name of it, No Holds Barred.
Jesse, yeah. Ventura, he starts giving out after the trailer shown for No Holds Barred. You're invading my territory now. Really good. It came across like it was real, you know?
Real angry, yeah. Bitter.
It got me thinking, has there ever been a Ventura Hogan feud?
They couldn't. Jesse had to retire early because he had a blood clot in his lungs. So.
Right, okay.
That's unfortunate because this would have been an amazing feud.
We also missed a little quick word with Donald Trump, who says nothing. So, skip.
Alright, so now, Steve, you're going to love it. It's the Mega Powers recap, all the way from last year's WrestleMania to Saturday night's main event from February 3rd, which you just saw, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Last time on OSW Review. Right, so then we get a awesome Hogan promo. Not quite WrestleMania 4.
He did not take much coke before this. It was, like, quite relaxed and
just a normal person's amount of coke.
Just a regular Saturday night amount of coke. Great promo.
Yeah, the point of his promo that he gets over is that he says that Savage was never in his corner and that he put the Hulkamaniac, which is Liz, between them. So
that's
footage, Hulk Hogan. The only thing I can say, what a difference a year makes. A year ago at this time at WrestleMania 4, you were at the side of the Macho Man when he became the undisputed World Wrestling Federation champ. 1 year later, here in Atlantic City, you're going to be challenging this very same man for the world crown.
Well, you know, you're exactly right, Mean Gene. 1 year ago, brother, me and the Macho Man were as one. We were best of friends. We would do anything to win together, brother. And if you would have told me 1 year later, right in the very same place that it started, in the Trump Plaza, that we'd be locking horns, going head on head for the WWE Championship, I'd have called you a liar, Mean Gene. But you know something? I should have seen this thing coming, man. As the Mega Power team was formed, brother, as the Summer Slams, as the Survivor Series went down, as the Mega Power started growing together, the Mania was a little bit ahead of the madness, man. But it really didn't matter. You were either in or you were either out, brother. You either believed or you didn't, man. And you were either ready or you weren't. The Macho Man made me feel that he believed in the three commandments of the prayers, the training, and the vitamins. He made me believe that he was in my corner, Mean Gene. And he also made me believe that he was ready to fight all odds. That's why I stuck with him, brother. That's why we stayed together so long.
You know, as that relationship of the Mega Powers deteriorated even further, Macho Man Randy Savage went so far as to attack your Hulkamaniac.
Oh, yeah, he did more than just attack the Hulkamaniacs, brother. He went so far as to put our manager, the lovely Elizabeth, right between us, man. It was him that was eaten alive by the jealousy. It was him that was eaten alive by the lust, brother. It was a simple fact that the Macho Man couldn't be the man that all my Hulkamaniacs wanted him to be, brother. He couldn't handle the load. He couldn't handle the pressure. But what really tore us apart was the way he was so jealous of Hulkamania, the way he put Elizabeth between us, the way he manipulated her, the way he twisted this whole beautiful thing around. But I found out one thing, Macho Man. You're not a believer in the commandments, brother. Brother, you're a cheap shot artist. You take whatever you can get as quick as you want. You were never in my corner. You were always on the outside waiting for me to make the first move. But just like Donald Trump, Macho Man, I hope you're ready, brother, because Donald Trump has questions in his own mind. He sent a whole team of seismologists out here to check the foundation of the Trump Towers, because when the mega powers explode off the launching pad, brother, as we erupt over the whole Atlantic City, he was worried about the foundation. He was worried that the thousands of people in the arenas might become unseated and swallowed by the earth. Donald Trump, don't worry about my Hulkamaniacs. They're survivors. They're ready. But you, Macho Man, I don't care where you stand. I don't care what you believe in. All I want from you is your best. I want you to be ready. I want the Macho Madness to be at its peak. Because when Hulkamania rules, when Hulkamania lives forever, when Hulkamania puts you down on your knees, I want the whole world to realize that I beat just your best. And at the end of WrestleMania 5, I will be the World Wrestling Federation champion. And what you gonna do, Macho Man, when the whole world full of Hulkamaniacs destroy you?
Talk about determination. You saw it there in the eyes of the Hulk.
Then we have the Cunt Royal Rumble winner, Big John Studd, as a ref for the next match. From Grenoble on the French Alps, Andre the Giant with Bobby the Brain Heenan, who's back in his regular jacket now, versus Jake the Snake Roberts. And it made me think, man, Bobby Heenan, he's got a lot of people in his stable.
Yeah.
Like, he's got Haku and the Brainbusters and Perfect and Andre and Rude and, of course, the Rooster. It is established in the last two pay-per-views that Andre is terrified of snakes. The immediate spot of the match is Robert gets his head rammed into the steel turnbuckle.
Great spot.
No pad.
At the very least, like Jesse or, you know, someone saying, oh, look at Ian and the scallywag taking the turnbuckle cover.
Yeah. No, but I think it worked better in that, you know, you just, oh, he's gone for the head rammed into the turnbuckle. Oh, shit, there's no pad.
It was a great surprise. Yeah. We were like, this is Jake Roberts' point of view as well.
Yeah, and the commentators put it over.
Yeah, yeah, all right. Yeah, Andre, he gasses out in seconds.
Instantly.
Holy God. Yeah. It's like, oh, we're 20 seconds into my time for the get my arms hooked in the ropes giant spot.
No, you went for the big rest hold first.
There, in the corner. He couldn't put the choke on in the middle of the ring because he's too tired. So he had to go to the corner where he could lean in the dirt buckle and put the choke on. Fucked it like 18 seconds into the match. This is like me.
Poor lad, he was fucked, yeah. Man. Jeez.
Like, why is it only Andre that gets his arm stuck in the ropes? I mean, there's a lot of other big lads. Like, how stupid is this guy?
Of course, he's stupid.
He feels it's going to happen. I better walk away from these fucking ropes.
I'd rather take the beating and get a sit down. All right. Yeah. So there's a schmaltz, and the Million Dollar Man comes down, and he runs out, and he robs Damien.
So then Jake just goes, "I know," and then runs out and just takes Damien back. For about 8 seconds.
Thank you.
Andre chokes out Big John Studd, and then Jake gets a snake back rather easily and unleashes him in the ring, and the match is thrown out as a DQ. Man, I'm not impressed that Jake did nothing to hide Andre's immobility. Like, absolutely nothing. Come on. Oh, then we cut to Mooney, who's in the Bob Uecker cheap seats.
Oi, fuck you, Monsoon. He's just slagging the fans by calling them cheap. The fucking cheek of him.
And chats to some Mark.
Two biggest goobers that WrestleMania's ever seen.
I thought you were going to call them goobags there.
The mullets. Yeah, the one lad's like, yeah, Jake's the best. And the other one is just there. He's there in a pink fucking jumper. In 1989, like, he's going to get beaten up.
Get a
like.
Pringle jumper on you.
And he just looks terrified, like the poor lad.
Sorry, I would just question, it's unrelated, but you know the way Beefer has his haircutting gimmick?
You're right,
what's
yeah.
he got, like, the biggest mullet in the world? I wouldn't let a barber with that haircut touch me, like.
It's like, you know, in Watchmen, who's going to watch the Watchmen? It's like with Beefer, it's like, who's going to cut the barber's hair?
Chinese riddle.
Yeah, you're missing a terrible interview with Sherry backstage. I'm running out of patience. You said she's good. We haven't seen that yet. You know, how long is it going to... Is she going to have to be managing Sean before she gets good? Because she's woeful.
You have got that right. Sensational. Unlike some other woman we saw singing America the Beautiful earlier today. World champion Rockin' Robin. Let's face it. She can't sing any better than she can wrestle. And as soon as I'm ready, I'll take the title back from you, Robin. There's one other lady I'd like to talk about today. Miss Elizabeth. They say she's beautiful. Look at this. This is hot and vicious. Is it a shame, Miss Elizabeth, that your mega powers are going to explode today?
Boy, talk about devious people. She's one of them.
I think it's 2 years before she has a great promo, so depending on what she does, I don't know.
But, you know, you have to bear in mind that she's cutting a promo on Rockin' Robin.
Troy needs something with a bit more ammunition to it. But trust me, Royal Rumble 91 rolls around, you'll be like, oh, Jay, these last 12 pay-per-views were worth it. All right, so next we got the Heart Foundation versus No Theme, No Entrance, Double Trouble. Not quite Rhythm and Blues because your hair's not dyed black yet. Honky Tonk Man and Greg Valentine.
I want to say, Gorilla in this match, at the very start... Hitman works over the heels, right? And then for some reason, Gorilla starts to complain that the heels weren't ready. What the fuck is this? This guy had a horror of a show tonight. I mean, like, that's just absolutely awful.
Just a point in this match. It's the last tag match on the pay-per-view, thank God. There's been so many of them, like,
yeah.
Random tag matches. And, like, I do appreciate there being a lot of... tag teams.
I know that we moan in this day and age, you know, like about there being no tag matches, but one or two is the sweet spot.
Yeah.
You know, like not 5 or 6.
Yeah.
All right, so this is a really short match. Well, it seemed really short, but it's 7:40. The Anvil chases Jimmy Hart around the ring. Jimmy Hart leaves the megaphone on the mat for Honky, but Anvil gets it, and he throws it to Brett, who smacks Honky in the shoulder with it. He sells it like it was in a head, and gets the 3. And he also does the awesome Bret Hart spot of, I'm pinning and I'm getting the win. You can hit me from the outside, but I'm still getting the win. All right, so next... Wait, what do we got next?
Oh, we just get a promo package.
Awesome promo package. It's a...
As awesome as Raymond's package.
You have to ask Luke for that one. Yeah.
Are you going?
Yeah, it's basically a recap of the Royal Rumble post down between Rick Rude and Ultimate Warrior. It's short, but as we said last time round, this segment was fucking awesome. So, of course, the recap is awesome.
Awesome. All right, and now we have the Intercontinental Championship match. Rick Rude with Bobby the Brain Heenan versus the Ultimate Warrior, the Intercontinental Champion. So beforehand, we get an awesome classic Rude promo. He opens up his robe and the Intercontinental belt is on his tights. That is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, mark out moment.
What I'd like to have right now is for all you high-rolling Atlantic City sweat hogs. Keep the noise down while I take my robe off and give the ladies a good look at the sexiest man alive. Hit the music.
This guy's got a great body, there's no denying that. Far as being the sexiest man alive, look at kind of an overstatement, I think.
I'll tell you, if he takes this robe off, look at her, she's loving it, look at that. Oh, yeah. Now you tell me he ain't ripped.
Oh, he is. I always said he was.
Look at that. Look at that. He's already got the Intercontinental title.
Yeah,
right,
but it's only imprinted on his tights, Jack.
Yeah, but that's confidence, Gorilla. That's confidence. That's called putting your butt on the line.
Or conceit.
Here comes the man.
Oh, they're on their feet. Look at him. He's flying down there. Ultimate Warrior. Full speed ahead.
This guy's a lunatic.
He's also a champion.
For now, Gorilla. This is going to be his toughest title defense right here. Look at that.
There's an awesome spot at the start where Warrior runs in. Great entrance. Crowd go nuts. And he runs the ropes and Rude knees Warrior in stomach, but he still has his belt on and so he hurts his leg.
Really clever.
It is.
Really clever spot.
At the start as well, throughout the match, I was like, wow, the Ultimate Warrior, he just doesn't have a fucking clue. Like,
no.
He is a terrible wrestler, but amazing everything else. So he, like, at the start, he does the power spot where he's just basically touching off Rude, and Rude goes flying into the corner 3 times. And I was like, wow, Rude bumping his arse off for this guy. And Warrior, he like...
Bumping like a boss.
Warrior does... he throws Rude into the turnbuckle and then nothing. He just waits for Rude to get back up and then he like hugs him. It's like, holy shit.
No moves. He's no idea what he's doing.
All he can think of is running into people. That's essentially his arsenal.
But it's just everything that he does, just the fans love it. You believe he's mental, you know what I mean? Like he's terrible, but he's awesome at being terrible.
The Weasel was caught like elbow deep, hands down his jocks, and the camera catches him and like he pulls it out slowly, but that doesn't feed into the finish. He never puts, brass knucks on, he's just...
Yeah, I forgot about that actually, yeah.
It's like you were just like fixing yourself.
He's got like a real kind of sheepish look on his face. Like, it looks dodgy.
Warrior just kept on doing bear hugs in this match, and it killed the crowd. It makes no sense. Should be Rude doing it to Warrior so that the fans can get behind.
And that's it. Like he Warrior finally wakes up the dead crowd, right? Which was a miracle in itself. But then he just kills it with his bear hugs.
Yeah. I honestly think that, like, he, like, bear hug, hey, Rude, what's the next spot? Fuck's sake.
Although, this was my favourite spot of the pay-per-view, was Rude. So he delivers an eye poke to break up the first bear hug.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. Comes back, next bear hug. He's gonna do the next one. The ref grabs his hands. You're not doing an eye poke. That's it's awesome. Like, just let him do it and disqualify him.
There was another awesome spot where Rude goes to do his, you know, his kind of swivel hips, and he sells his back.
Oh, cool.
It was really awesome.
Rude was doing a bow and arrow stretch to Warrior, and so Warrior's like this, and you can see all of his massive roid-gotten gains, and Rude is on top of him, holding him together, flexing his muscles as well, and they're both loving it. Like, ah, look at this, WrestleMania. And they just, like, inch their way over to the ropes, and do he gets out of it by shaking the ropes, and then, a backwards bum tackle.
It's like a bum thrust, isn't it?
Yeah. Warrior picks up Rude and hits a backbreaker, and then goes for a second one. They got their timing wrong or their lift wrong, because when Warrior tries to pick up Rude a second time, he trips, and then they both fall through the ropes.
Oh, yeah.
It's abysmal.
Oh, yeah, Warrior just... serious botch on his part.
Oh, serious botch on his part. Shocking botch, like.
The finish was... So Warrior was suplexing Rude in from the outside, and Heenan then grabs Warrior's ankle, and Jesus, Rude then lands on his head when Warrior's doing the suplex.
Right,
horrible. Just kind of holds Warrior's ankle during the pin. So he gets the pin and becomes the new IC champ. So that's the only time Heenan helps pretty much anyone, I think, for the entire pay-per-view. Was there no rope breaks back in the day? Because Warrior's legs were quite clearly...
I reckon Joey Morales here is just looking at the shoulders and he knows the finish. So he keeps kayfabe.
He knows where to not look.
So this spot would be reused by Ric Flair in the Hogan Taker title match in Series 91. So see you in episode 35 for that, Mike. Warrior almost kills Bobby Heenan, botching his press slam, and then he pegs it to the back.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I remember, like, there was the Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior DVD, and Heenan is recounting how useless and hopeless Warrior is, and he specifically mentions that spot at WrestleMania 5 where he press slams him and just kind of lets him go, and he said he was terrified. He's lucky to be alive, you know, and escape without injury, so... Alright, so next match, or is there anything in between?
Nope, straight in.
Alright, next match, Bad News Black versus Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
You're white on the money.
Referee, Tim White. This is before the suicide attempts.
Oh, Jesus.
Suicide attempts?
Remember that?
It was on SmackDown.
Lunchtime Suicide, it was called.
His gimmick is that he tried to commit suicide maybe by blowing his head off with a shotgun, and it would kind of go off camera, and then they show blood, but he'd miss, and he's like Kenny from South Park.
That is terrible.
It got a lot of guff.
Oh, it was one of the worst things they've ever done.
Made like all the kind of US morning chat show circuit, you know, all this Kathy and Regis and all that shit. There was murder. Like, it was not good.
That's potentially the worst thing that they've ever done.
I was horrified by it. I was disgusted by it. Like.
So really, like, I thought this match would be really fast, and it was.
Yeah,
because
no guy had an entrance either.
Yeah. Screams jobber in a whatever 4-hour pay-per-view. Immediately, Bad News Brown does the heel I'm leaving spot, and then he's slingshotted into the ring, and you notice he takes a flare bump. He bumps on his kidney and not his back.
Oh, really?
And Bad News Brown holds Hacksaw Buddy inside of his jocks while he punches his stomach.
Yeah.
He, like,
it's going deep, like.
Yeah, he was getting a full thumb in there, you know?
Yeah.
Gorilla drops a Pier 6 reference. Bad News Brown misses the running ghetto blaster. Fine time to do that for the first time, eh? And Hacksaw counters with a running clothesline. Both get weapons, and the match is thrown out. Both are DQ'd at 3:49.
This is about, like, the fourth double DQ slash countdown in the show.
Yes.
God. Did anyone fucking lose back in the
80s? I quite liked Duggan's ducking of the ghetto blaster actually kind of played possum, which you wouldn't expect from Duggan, a complete moron that he is. I quite liked it.
I'll have you know he has a degree in plant biology.
Does he?
Why not? he does. Right. Yeah, and Ventura slags both of them, saying he predicted there would be no wrestling moves, and you might win it if you use the wrestling move. Anything in between?
A rooster interview. You didn't have this? Oh my god, this was amazing.
That's right, I am going to meet the teacher and I'm going to teach him something he never taught me, and that's how to lose. Bobby the Weasel Heenan, you said I was limited. I showed you I wasn't limited. I'm fixing to show everybody today in just a few short minutes. I can't wait. You accepted the challenge, and I'm going to take the best of a good opportunity. The Red Rooster's great, can't wait to get his rooster claws into that weasel hide. I'm going to take out all this frustration. I am going to take care of business, and when I'm done with you, weasel, there'll be nothing left. It'll be a great day in the barnyard, and everybody will be going,
all right, the waiting is over for the Red Rooster. He's on his way to meet Bobby the Brain Heenan. Right now, let's go back to the arena.
Throughout the entire interview, he keeps, like, pecking. Throughout the whole
thing. He's going for the gimmick, man.
He is playing an actual rooster.
Excuse me, he has a chorea, and I'll thank you not to stare.
But the promo was horrific. It was just full of him saying, yeah, and I'm going to win, and then all the chickens back in the barn are going to love me, and...
He's got a fucking chicken.
He's like, he thinks he's a rooster, like. Well, he's talking about impressing the chickens, probably so he can impregnate them. And then move into, like, a nicer barn.
Well, he is top of the pecking order.
He is, isn't he?
All right, so we get Bobby Heenan with WWE DVD veteran Steve Lombardi, better known as the Brooklyn Brawler, versus the Red Rooster, who's now a face. So this is a quick squash match. Rooster boosts him into the corner and wins. Yeah, gets the pin.
That's it.
32 seconds. Brawler beats him up post-match.
Monsoon again commentating like Heenan was a face, saying, oh my god, what did he do to be treated like this? And he's fucking head of the biggest heel faction in your company's history.
He booted Red Rooster out for losing too many times.
Yeah. Like I've said all night. Yeah. Awful.
I thought it was funny at the end where Brawler's battering the Rooster. And like the Rooster's, you know, generic babyface music is still playing.
I know.
It's crazy.
Yay! He was just like egging them on
me. Alright, so backstage, Mean Gene interviews Liz, who says that she's going to keep in a neutral corner, to which Ventura calls her a gold digger, saying that she's just going to side with whoever wins.
Fucking awesome. This guy, man.
Yeah, all night Ventura, he's the man.
Shouldn't Liz, Macho's wife, take his side?
Yes.
Regardless. She shouldn't be neutral. Why is she neutral? You know, if Andrew was like, oh, I can't take sides here, lads, I'd be like, you take my fucking side. Do you know what I mean?
I choose the side that you think is right. Shouldn't be forced to pick a side because you're married to someone.
Absolutely.
If you're married to someone, it's kind of us versus the world kind of thing.
100%.
But, like, if you want your marriage to...
Yeah, to work.
To work, yeah.
What if your spouse or whatever is taking the side that you absolutely despise, like...
Yeah, then you shouldn't be married, really.
Yeah.
Okay, no.
This is for better or for worse, so if I'm a cunt, then you married me, I'm a cunt.
Yeah.
You're still on my side.
I just... It's one person... your point as a point, like... I would never agree with someone because I'm their friend. I would agree with you if I think your point is right.
Like, if you need backup, you expect it from your wife, like.
But
there's no think reasonably about this. Is whatever I do, you're on my side. I murder this person, you help me dig up the grave.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Oh.
Here, Steve, we're playing this tape at your wedding.
The whole pay-per-view.
The whole pay-per-view. Giving out about Monsoon.
Okay. Yes. All right. So finally, match 14 of the night, 3 hours and 20 minutes into the pay-per-view, we have the world undisputed WWF regional championship match. Macho Man, World Wrestling Federation champion, comes out first, has Madness written on the back of his cape. It's awesome. And then Liz comes out to Macho's theme, and oh yeah, that's right, Pat Patterson, another payday. So much security coming out with Liz. Okay, I understand Macho, he's extremely protective of Liz, and so much security. Question, and if you'll indulge me in a kayfabe sense, why does Goldberg have security?
You've asked this question before.
Have I? I understand why Liz has it.
She's a woman, and she could get hurt.
And did he grab?
And
looked.
But Goldberg, other than the fact that it looks fucking cool,
awesome. Yeah.
I've got nothing. Have you got any theories?
No, I only have the shoot reason, which is it looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so Hulk Hogan enters. Do you want to take us through this match?
Not really.
All right then. It's good night,
folks. I have one point to make. Right from the top, Jesse goes mad about Hogan coming out after the champion.
Yes.
I thought that was a great point.
It really comes across that he hates Hogan.
Yeah.
He spent the whole match complaining about him, calling him Lust Hogan.
He calls the fans the Pukesters. He should be calling them the Pukemaniacs. Anyway, small point.
Surely Hulk should be the Pukester.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hogan chases Macho around the ring, and Macho pulls Liz in the way as a human shield.
A lot of heat for that move. It was great.
Now that's a reason.
You did that with your wife.
No, I would never. But if I would, I'd expect her to go, actually, no, you're a dickhead.
That's it. Like, where's Hulk?
Where's Jake?
Where's Jake?
I think Savage had a sleeper hold on Hogan, and Hogan does a great turnaround, and then he does a drop toe hold and gets him into a front face lock.
Really good. Never seen that kind of thing from Hogan.
Yeah, this is like early 80s pre-Hulkamania shit he's doing here. Hulk blades over his left eye off camera. I actually rewound it to try find where did you fucking blade, and he must have done it on 3 seconds where he wasn't on camera. I'm very impressed.
A great Jesse line about Liz, he says, a punch in the nose might not be so bad for her.
Holy shit.
And I'd like to play this song I've written. It's called I Kissed My Sweetie With My Fist. He's the Chaz of his day.
Or the Austin, of course.
Oh, reality.
So we don't like real white beaters.
Just fake ones. There's a really interesting bit where...
Do you know Chaz had an interview about 10 years later where he was just saying, man, I wish we could have kept going with that wife beater angle. It would have gotten over again.
Really?
We're into year 8 of the wife beater angle. Chaz, not over. There's some angles that don't get over. This causing an abortion as well. D'Lo, how does his career do?
Oh, God.
What else doesn't work?
Snitsky as well did that, didn't he?
Yeah,
some kind of...
Yeah, with
stillbirth.
Lita,
Lita and Kane and all that business.
Hogan and Macho Man.
Couldn't they?
After Hogan got colour, Macho just kind of lost the plot and just went for the cut over his eye with Jesse basically screaming. It was like, oh, the ref's gotta stop this, he's gotta stop this. And really good stuff. It looked really vicious, you know. It's like, it didn't fall into place with the kind of 80s wrestling that we saw, you know, throughout the night. Because this felt like a blood feud, like a year long payoff. He's trying to rip his eye out, you know.
It needed a blade job.
Yeah.
So Hogan has control of the start of the match, and then when Macho gains control, he's gloating all the time. It's great. Macho gets thrown over the top rope to the mat, and he doesn't accept Liz's aid, which is great. And then Hogan gets Macho up to spear him in the post, and Liz won't move out of his way, so he won't let Macho get speared. Then Macho takes advantage when she does move and just pushes Hogan into the post. I thought it was great.
Of which he then follows up with screaming at Liz, pointing in her face. Really fucking great stuff by Macho.
Then Hebner ejects Liz, and that's it for you for the night. Awesome, we get a succession of throat spots. by Macho. So we get the Steamboat injury spot to Hogan, where Hogan is leaning over the railing and Macho Man comes down on him and hits his neck off the railing. It's great. Then you got the trademark Macho Hangman, where he grabs his back of his head and then jumps over the top rope. That's awesome. And we get the kind of Austin rope spot where Hogan is on the second rope, kind of getting his breath, and then Macho kind of pulls his leg over his head.
That's the move that Austin nearly tore Taker's ear off with, right?
Yeah, in England.
Or that's something, right. Wasn't it?
Very good.
And also, Macho takes off his wrist tape and tries to choke Hogan with it twice.
Fantastic. Oh my god, just a beautiful, beautiful top rope elbow drop by Macho from halfway across the ring. It was just...
It looks so much better than Punk's version. Yeah. It really does.
Bucamania will die right here! Savage perched up there in the elbow! He got it! He nailed him! He got it! Cover him, Mach! One, two, no! The Hulkster's out of there! Look at him! Look at his face! That adrenaline is starting to flow! This place is going crazy!
Then what happens? Hogan kicks out at one. Biggest match of the year.
Yeah. Well, this is a Mania moment, you know, just kicking out of this. Although we'll probably...
Kick out at 2¾.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Although, when Hogan did Hulk up, I kind of marked out again. I was like, you know, I was getting like childhood flashbacks. I was like, if I was 6 and watching this, I would have gone fucking mental. You know, I'd been jumping up and down on the couch watching it as a kid. He was great still.
I was yelling at Macho Man, don't throw punches when he's hulking up. Wake him in the eyes.
Grab his balls.
Just walk out of the ring.
Yeah.
Do you want to take us to the finish?
Well, that was it.
Good night, everybody.
You do the fucking thing.
You didn't write it down, did you?
No, I didn't write it down.
I bet you could probably guess how he beats him.
Yeah, there's only one way this match finishes.
Frog splash.
Alright, so Hogan hulks up. Macho Man tries to stop him with the punches. Doesn't work. So we get the big boot, we get the big leg, and the big win. 1-2-3. Hulk Hogan, the now the undisputed WWF champion for the second time.
And savior of the universe.
Was this only the second time?
That's He-Man, really? Isn't it?
No, he was the Master.
Master.
Everything about this was, you know, the match was very good, but the story, the characters, the crowd, everything else was just amazing.
WWF Champion, 1 year build. I thought it was very odd that they actually didn't sign this match until after Saturday night's main event. You know, they only shot the big angle at February, and this is the start of April. And what's that about? You know?
Well, I suppose
that's still eight weeks.
Yeah, and they had been building up for months. Yeah. So it was just like a matter of time.
The tension was there from like Survivor Series, because SummerSlam they were in full Mega Power Force, right?
Yeah, that's the one with Liz's arses and the main
yes,
event.
Yes, it was.
Steve, notice something that you love is that. Do you think Hulk Hogan knows how to put on a belt? It's like, This guy, he's used to it. He, you know, he can put it on in his sleep.
We like we know when we'd be putting on belts. We'd be like, oh, for fuck's sake, Hogan's like.
he knows well enough to put on the clasp forward. Yeah. You know, puts it to his right size and then twirls it around, and it's, you know, perfect. You
bam!
Know?
Yeah,
it's like a fluid motion. This is a guy with, you know, the belt shaped tan line on his stomach. You know?
A lot of experience there.
So that was the pay per view. All 4 hours of it.
Awesome.
Greetings, Father.
Hulk Hogan!
He goes to my chiropractor, so I asked him if he'd come talk some sense into you.
Stan, my little Hulkamaniac filled me in on what's going on. And let me tell you something, brother. The Hulkster had to battle my entire life to get where I am, brother. With nothing but sweat, tears, and heartache, and good old red, white, and blue pumping through my veins, brother. All the training, all the matches, all the prayers, and all the brothers made me appreciate everything I've earned. That's why, no matter how many 1-2-3s I slap on my opponents, I just thank my lucky, mean genes I was blessed to be able to step into that squared circle and use these 24-inch pythons. Stan, brother, sometimes as a Hulkamaniac, you gotta look deep down inside yourself and ask, what you gonna do when Hulkamania runs wild on you?
Yeah.
Listen, Terry, I appreciate you coming out, but...
Oh, what's wrong, Dad? Have you developed privileged rich guy hands?
My handshake.
Looks like your grip's gone soft. Probably from not lifting a finger all day.
Nonsense, Stan. Stick with what got you here, the easy way.
My son's right. I became what I despise the most. I don't want your membership. Not this way. I want to earn it with my working man's hands.
Welcome back, Dad.
What do you say, Vanderhill? You keep my membership in exchange for us getting employees swim back?
No ways to your Jose's.
Well, Hogan, then it looks like we're going to have to earn swim time back the hard way. What are you doing here? I have so much to tell you.
Dad, look! 1 week of hard work and I already got my first blister.
Maybe we take that playboy out of the bathroom for the summer.
It looks like things are getting too spicy for the pepper.
Hey, that's my wife's saying.
Your wife? That's the old salsa fresca slogan from like 2 Super Bowls ago.
Well, it looks like the Hulkster's work here is done. I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right.
Awesome. All right, that was an awesome show, lads. I reckon it was the business. So, anyway, next time, next month, who knows?
Oh, he's still
covered. On OSW Review, we are doing SummerSlam 1989. And do you know what the main event is?
No idea.
No idea.
It's gonna be awesome. You're gonna love
it.
Good night, folks.
Cool. All right.
So, much like last year's SummerSlam, where the main event was a tag match, this year's SummerSlam is a main event tag match.
Hogan Warrior?
It's Hulk Hogan and your boy, Brutus Beefcake, versus Macho Man and the only man that he could have as a tag team partner. What's his name? Dave Lister. Is it Zeus from the movies?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Oh my god, I cannot wait for this.
I hear it's god awful. So, see you next time, man. So, from me, Jay Hunter, this is OOC.
Yeah.
And B1.
Take care.
No, fuck you, Zack Ryder.
You fucking Kim.
You stay classy, internet. I can't let it.